Hey Ador, Tuesday the 28th of February, by Shimmy Conway, a Shiloh in the kitchen. Today's shir has been sponsored in Zeicha Maras Rochel Bas Avon Boruch Aleho Shalom.
Good morning everybody. Just want to begin by thanking the organisers of Start the Day for giving me the opportunity to join you. It's my pleasure to be here and to be together with you in starting the day the right way, which is the Torah way. On Motzei Shabbos this week, I met a relative of mine. He says to me, "I see that you're speaking on Start the Day. Hatzlocha with your shir, I hope it all goes well." Just tell me one thing. He looks at me with a puzzled expression and says to me, "Just tell me, what is a shiloh in the kitchen?" I said to him, "You know, I also don't know, but for anybody who's still confused or unsure about it, let me just enlighten you. It's not a shiloh in the kitchen. It's a shiloh in the kitchen." And I want to share with you this morning a fascinating domestic shiloh which actually occurred recently. I found looking into it very interesting, and I hope that you enjoy it too. And the story goes like this. There was a young couple in Yerushalayim, and they were making shalom brachos for their friends. So they sat down, they discussed the menu, they decided that we are going to serve schnitzel for the main course. Going to serve schnitzel, very nice. They go out, they buy the schnitzels, they have them in their fridge, all ready to fry. One fine evening, the wife goes out for a couple of hours, and the husband, he was a good husband, so he said to himself, "You know what, think what a truch it is, what a bother it is to fry 80 schnitzels, I'm going to do my wife a favour, and I'll fry the schnitzels while she's out. Think how happy she'll be when she comes back." Okay. He goes to the cupboard. He takes out two frying pans. One small frying pan and one big frying pan. That's right. In the small frying pan, he fries 30 schnitzels. In the big frying pan, he fries 50 schnitzels. Makes a big pile on the counter of all the schnitzels. And he tidies up the whole kitchen, makes it all beautiful for when the Rebbetzin comes in. He's just finished tidying it all up. The key turns in the lock. In she comes. And he's so delighted to tell her. He says, "You know what? I've just finished frying all the schnitzels for the Shavuot brachos." She says, "Oh, really? How did you manage to do it so quickly?" He says, "Well, I took out both frying pans from the cupboard." She says, Both frying pans?" She says, "We only have one plastic frying pan." "Oh, you mean you use the milchik frying pan?" "The milchik frying pan, I just used it for milk this morning." So, that's the story. The first thing we learn from this story, no messing around in the kitchen. That's right, it works. Men should not be messing around in the kitchen, leave it to the ladies.
And there's steak in the show.
Yeah.
Steak, they serve steak in the end of the
show. Wait and see, that's... So...
Shows he never washed it up in his lifetime.
Yeah, that's a good point, quite right. Otherwise he would have known. Maybe he's a bit absent-minded, doesn't he? Okay. But, from the halachic point of view, let's first clarify the essential points of the shiloh. He's fried in the milchik frying pan 30 of the schnitzels. In the small frying pan is milchik, 30 of the schnitzels were fried in the milchik frying pan. So that means that milchik frying pan was used this morning. Halachically speaking, we take on that when a frying pan is used for milchik, the ta'am of the milk, the taste of the milk, is imparted into the wall of the frying pan, it's imparted into the frying pan. And then when you fry something else, when you fry fleishiks in the milchik frying pan, the fleishiks obviously becomes forbidden, it becomes basar b'cholof. So those 30 schnitzels which were fried in the milchik frying pan are awesome. They are basar b'cholof.
We assume we don't know what the 30 is.
We don't know. We're going to count that. We don't know. Let's first also point out that this is only basar b'cholof d'rabbanan, because since schnitzels are from a bird, they're from oif, they're not from an animal. And we take on the halacha is that only meat from an animal is basar b'cholof min ha-Torah, is basar b'cholof d'oraisa. But basar b'cholof from a bird, using chicken or turkey, would only be of rabbinic origin, would only be basar b'cholof d'rabbanan. Now these 30 schnitzels, as we said, are mixed into the rest of the pile in such a way that they are not recognisable. There's no way of just removing those 30 schnitzels and we save the 50. So the question is, the issue is here, you have this pile of the 80 schnitzels, which contain 30 which are forbidden to eat. So, do they have to throw them all out? That's one way. Or is there some way of saving the day, restoring their happy marriage, and put things back to the beginning? So, let's first understand the issue. What's the shy? For this, we have to learn the Mishnah in Chulin. The Mishnah says on Daf Tzadi Vav Amud Beis, it speaks about somebody who cooks chaticho shel nevela, a piece of meat which is non-kosher, a piece of non-kosher meat, or a different case, he cooks a non-kosher fish chaticho shel dog tomei, which was cooked in a pan together with other pieces of meat, other pieces of kosher meat or other kosher fish, they were cooked together in the same pan. And the Mishnah says like this, what's the din? Bizman shemakiron, if he recognizes them, if they are identifiable, he can still see that non-kosher fish or that non-kosher piece of meat and identify it. So then the din is that he removes it, he takes it out, and the rest of the pot will depend whether you can taste the taste of the non-kosher meat or the non-kosher fish in the rest of the pot or not. But the actual piece itself you remove. And if you cannot taste its taste in the rest of the pot, then it will be mutter. How are you going to find that out? And we'll not get involved in that right now. We need really the next line, the following line of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah says like this, V'im lav, let's say it's non-identifiable. You cannot identify the piece of non-kosher meat, the non-kosher fish, it looks the same as all the others. It fell in, it got mixed up, and you don't know which one it is anymore. You can't identify it. You can't see it. So then, the Mishnah says, Kulam Asuris. It's forbidden. There's one piece of meat here which is non-kosher, you can't identify it. You're going to eat this pan of meat, you're going to eat non-kosher meat. So Kulam Asuris. It's all forbidden. That's what the Mishnah says. A piece of meat is mixed into the pan with all the non-kosher meat, Kulam Asuris. All forbidden. Now let me share with you what the Gemara says about this. The Gemara quotes this Mishnah and then asks the question. Ask the Gemara a question, maybe the thing which is going through your mind, but tivtul beruba, let it be bottle beroiv, very well known concept, bittul beroiv, it's nullified in the majority. Rashi says this is learned from a pasuk, it says in the Torah, acharei rabim lahatos, in all areas of Jewish law, we're always following the majority. So over here, let's follow the majority. Majority of the pieces are kosher. Majority are okay. So just follow the majority. You should be allowed to eat all of them. After a few lines of discussion, the Gemara comes out with the following teretz, with the following answer. It says like this, Shani chaticha, the pieces being discussed in this Mishnah are different. Why? Hoyel uru'uya lehiskabid bo lifnei ha'orche. These pieces of meat being discussed in this Mishnah are fitting to serve to a guest. Not tiny little pieces of meat which you have to serve a few pieces in order to make up a portion. They are each a portion which one can put on a plate in front of a guest. A nice steak, decent sized piece of meat. That's what's under discussion. And this, in fact, the Mefarshim say, is a din d'rabbanan, that a piece of meat which is a portion in itself, is a portion which one could serve to one's guests, is not bottle. So even though normally we follow the majority, but where we have something which has a certain chashivus, a certain significance in and of itself, like this, which is fitting to serve to guests, Chazal made a takona, they made a gezera, that it is not bottle. It cannot be nullified. And the Mefarshim explained, the Poskim say, how do we define what is called fitting to serve, what not called fitting to serve? You know, you can have some things which in Yerushalayim might be fitting to serve, but they might not be fitting to serve in a West End hotel. So the Mefarshim say, the Poskim say that this is dependent, lefi hamokim or lefi hazman, it depends on social standards, so it depends where you are. It depends what's accepted in that society. But something which in that society one could serve on a plate to one's guests is not bottle. Now let's apply this to our case, to our shayla. As we said, we have 30 schnitzels mixed into a pile where 50 are kosher and 30 are not kosher. So certainly they are the minority, strictly speaking. One would like to say that they're bottle beroif. They're nullified by the majority. The difficulty is, as we said now, we have this Gemara which says to us that something which is royally is kabid, a portion which one can serve to a guest, is not bottle, cannot be nullified. And I think we can safely say that in Yerushalayim, in HaKodesh, a schnitzel is royally is kabid, is something which one can serve to a guest. You go to a wedding, you'll get a schnitzel on a plate. A schnitzel is most definitely royally is kabid. So they are not bottle. So that's the problem over here. Although we have a majority, but because the schnitzel is royally is kabid, it's something one can serve to guests, it cannot be bottle. So it would seem they're going to have to throw the pile out. You're going to have to throw the whole lot out and start again. So in the time available to us, I'd like to share with you a couple of lines of halachic reasoning where maybe we can find a way to save the day.
Why aren't we saying that the original frying pan, assuming it was washed up, might have been made some time of gum?
Because poskim don't accept that going into the walls, when we have already embedded in the walls of a keli, tam, we have taste already embedded in the walls of the keli, that necessarily the soap penetrates and is poigim that which is inside the wall of the keli. It depends how hot it was when it was washed up. Right. Not all soap is necessarily poigim.
It's not with a frying pan or...
No, with anything. Unless...
It wasn't 24 hours or so.
Unless it was actually cashed. It was within 24 hours over here, yeah.
In a town where you have 10 butcher shops...
Yeah.
And 9 are kosher and 1 isn't.
Yeah.
And 10 pieces of meat outside in the kosher shop.
But yeah.
One of them's definitely dreifa.
Yeah.
You're allowed to have them, aren't you?
Not if it's royally is covered. That might be speaking about where... Might be speaking about where they are not really scabbed. The pieces of meat are smaller pieces of meat.
There's enough
coming in. Okay, there's enough coming in too.
This is for sure.
Yeah. So the first line of a heter goes like this. We have a principle called Ein Mevatlin Issa Lechatchil. Yeah, well-known principle. Even though we have rules in the Torah of Bittul Barov, which we just spoke about, we have occasions when we sometimes follow Shishi, Bittul in 60, but that we are not permitted, in the first instance, to take something, a forbidden substance, and mix it with Heter, and say, oh, now it's Bittul. We only rely on Bittul, Acha HaMaisah. If something happened by mistake, then it's Bittul. But it's forbidden in the first instance to be Mevatel and Issa. It's a shayla whether this is of rabbinic origin or midoraisa, but that is the rule. Ein mevatlin issa lechatchila. And this applies whether to take the piece of meat, which is by itself a forbidden piece of meat, and mix it with a roiv, mix it with majority, or even if, let's say, the piece of meat has already become mixed in with others, or there's a few non-kosher pieces of meat which are mixed in with others, but there's not yet a majority. The non-kosher ones are the majority, so they're already mixed and you've already lost them. Can't identify them, but they are mixed and you're aware that they're not the majority. That they are the majority. There's no majority against them. There too, it is forbidden to add create a bittul. Now there's a Gemara which says like this. Gemara in Beit Sadaf Dalet. Amr of Masna. Eitzim shenoshru min hadekel l'toich hatanur b'yomtev. Mar be'aleim eitzim muchonim u'masikom. You have an oven and some wood which has been removed from the tree on Yom Tov falls into the wood which is already in the oven. The oven is being fueled by this wood. And you have some wood which was detached from the tree on Yom Tov and falls into the oven. So wood which is detached from a tree on Yom Tov is muktzah. So even though one's allowed to cook on Yom Tov and use a fire, and even if it's for the sake of the bishul, one can stoke the fire. But if one's got their wood, which is mukta, you're going to have trouble stoking the fire, because this wood is mukta. But the Gemara says, no, you can stoke the fire. And the Gemara even says like this, that what you do is, marbe alein eitzim mulchonim. If those pieces of wood, which are muksa, which have fallen from the tree on Yom Tov, are themselves the majority, there's no roiv against them, there's no roiv, what you do is, you bring some other wood which is not mukta, you add it to the pile, so that the wood which is mukta becomes nullified, becomes the minority. Ooh, so how's the Gemara Kasha? In Mabatfil Issa Lechatchila, I thought, like we just said now, there's a rule that in the first instance one cannot create a bittul. So over here you're bringing it to a situation of bittul, which is forbidden. Answers the Gemara Teretz. Hanimini bidoy raisa. When is there a prohibition of bittul issa lechatchila? That is, if you're dealing with an issa de raisa, something of Torah origin. Avol bidrabbanon, if you're dealing with something of rabbinic origin, a prohibition of rabbinic origin, mevatlin, then one is permitted to be mevatl in the first instance. This is what the Gemara says. So therefore, in this case of the wood, in the oven, it was permitted to add more wood, so that the forbidden wood, the mukta wood, becomes the minority, it's nullified, it's bottled, then you stoke the fire. That's what the Gemara says. So the Poskim bring from here, this is the opinion of most Rishonim, the simple implication of the Gemara, that at the very least, we see from here that if you have an Isur of rabbinic origin, which is already mixed, and there was no bittul, there was not enough of a ratio, there should be a bittul, one can add more heter and be mevatlit. If you have an Isur drabonon, which is already mixed, one can add extra heter and be mevatlit. That is what most Rishonim hold, that is what they bring from this Gemara. There is one opinion, the opinion of the Rosh, who says, no, there's no such rule. There's no such rule. En kaze davar, nishda zazach. You cannot add more heter in order to create a bittul. En mevatlin issa lechatchila. The Gemara seems to say not like that. He explains, this Gemara is a particular exception, because we're speaking that at the time that he already adds extra, the wood is already partially burnt up, and therefore the issur is less chomor. I don't want to get involved in that exactly, but he explains this Gemara is different, don't learn anything from here. His opinion is there is no heter, even by a drabonon, to add extra to create a bittul. Now, this is very important to us. How do we paskin in this shayla? The opinion of the Shulchan Aruch is like most of the Rishonim, he passes like Rov Rishonim, that one is indeed permitted by an Issa Drabbanon to add more heter and be mevatel and create a bittul. However, the Ramah says, the Ramah disagrees, the Ramah writes, the Yesh Omri. Others say, the ain mevatel Issa Drabbanon o lehoisif alav, one is not permitted to add more heter in order to create a bittul, even though it's only Drabbanon. The chen noyagin, this is the custom, ve'in l'shanos, and one should not change. That is the Ramah. So the Shulchan Aruch is paskening like most Rishonim, and allowing us to add extra heter in order to create a bittul, and the Ramah does not allow. Now let me share with you a chiddush of Rabbi Kiva Eiger. A chiddush of Rabbi Kiva Eiger goes like this. What do we see from the Shulchan Aruch? Shulchan Aruch is laying down a principle that where we have an Issa Drabonon, which is already mixed, in a situation where there is not yet a bittul, it's mixed, but there isn't yet a bittul, one is permitted to bring it to a situation of bittul. So says Rabbi Kiva Eiger, this applies not just in the precise application of the Shulchan Aruch, where one is adding extra heter in order to create a bittul. What about another scenario? What about a scenario where you have a piece of meat which is royally his cupping, something one can serve to guests, and is mixed in with a majority, and therefore is not bottle. What about bringing that to a situation of bittul? Come along, cut up the pieces, so that one can no longer serve one piece to a guest, cut them up into smaller pieces, and then it will become bottle. It will be nullified. So says Rabbi Kiva Eiger, Halachically speaking, that is exactly the same as the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. The same way the Shulchan Aruch is telling us that one can add more in order to create a bittul. Similarly, one can cut up pieces which are royally iskavid and create the bittul, so long as the issa is only the rabbon. That is what the Reb Kiva Eger says. But that will only be you're changing the status. But until now, the bittul cannot take place. There's no bittul as of yet. And now you cut it up, and the bittul is chal. But says Rabbi Kivega, of course, this is dependent on the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. According to the Shulchan Aruch, this will be okay. But according to the Ramah, not.
Sorry, if you'd already mixed the schnitzels.
Yeah.
We don't know of the bits of schnitzels, which bits came from the freight and which came from the kosher.
Yeah.
So how can we add on, because we don't know which were the original non-kosher ones.
So here we're not going to say to add on, over here we're going to cut.
Diminish the status.
We're going to cut. So you'll have to cut all the pieces. You'll be obliged to cut the whole pie, because you don't know which ones.
Right, but the act of bittul couldn't take place when they were whole because of Pnei Arachim.
Correct, the bittul didn't take place.
Now we've got bits of schnitzel which are not covered Pnei Arachim.
Right.
And we've got to mix them all together again.
No, they're mixed. As far as we cannot identify, which ones are the kosher ones, which ones are the non-kosher ones. Right? So we have a pile which are effectively mixed.
At the second we mix them all together, they all became treif.
No, they didn't become treif. The ones which were kosher were kosher. The ones which were not kosher were not kosher. They're just sitting together in a pile. The ones which were kosher remained kosher. The ones which were non-kosher are non-kosher. And they're mixed together in a pile. And now we are suggesting that you should cut them up into pieces, cut the whole pile up into pieces, and therefore you are guaranteed that the ones which were forbidden are no longer royally iskavit, are no longer royal to serve to guests.
But now, we mix them all together, and we've got a rove of non-kosher ones. Because of the original Mishnah, it says...
No, we've got a rove of kosher ones. We have a majority which are kosher in our case. They're not becoming bottle because they are... Yeah?
So what's the problem according to the Ramah then?
The Ramah says there are more paskins like the Rishonim who do not allow to add extra and be mabat.
So, you
can't cut.
What's the original proportion? 50 and 30?
50 and 30, yeah.
Or 50 kosher and 30 dodgy?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Okay?
Differently flavoured.
Yeah, differently flavoured. So, we know what's the rule. Who do we follow? The Shulchan Aruch or the Ramah? So, the Ashkenazim, of course, follow the Ramah. And our Sephardic brethren follow the Shulchan Aruch. So one maybe a little bit wild idea here is bring along a Sephardi and ask the Sephardi to cut them for you. Maybe.
What's going to happen when you cut them? You're going to get 100 kosher pieces and 60.
But you'll be permitted to eat all of them because they'll be bottled.
The only reason why you can't mix them now is because they're whole schnitzels.
Because they're fashivas.
Yeah, now they're not bottled. When you cut them, they'll be bottled.
You have to check very often the
Sephardic apostle. Yes, that is true. So sometimes they also follow the Ramah. Depends. That's true. Yeah, quite right.
You did that and you served
the
Ramah. Well, right, it is.
But here you'll have to serve a few. You won't be able to serve one. The royal is covered with the Orchim, where you have one piece, where this piece in itself is something you can serve to a guest. Where you have to serve a few pieces, that's no longer royal is covered. Let's say if you have small fish goujons, you don't have one on the plate, it's not. You have to serve three or four, or five. So that's not called royal iskavit. Now let me share with you a golden rule of the Prima Godin. A rule in Psak Halach. Prima Godin writes like this. Prima Godin says, us Ashkenazim, we have taken upon ourselves to follow the opinion of the Rambam. And he says, let me tell you, we follow this so stringently that we do not even consider the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch as a sochek, as a matter of doubt. Okay, sort of maybe the halacha is like the Shulchan Aruch and we could rely on it in certain extenuating circumstances, or as far as we're concerned, the halacha is like the Ramah and we're not interested in the Shulchan Aruch. However, he says, this is where the Ramah disagrees with the Mechaber. In a Lashon, he uses a language where it's clear that he disagrees completely. If he writes words that our custom is to do such and such, v'chein haminak, then says the Prima Godin, we consider it like a suffix, like a matter of doubt. Maybe the halacha is like the Shulchan Aruch, maybe the halacha is like the Ramban. What's the rule with a suffix? So if we have another suffix, if we have another reason why maybe it's not an Issa, a second suffix, then we can already make a Sfek Sfeka. We can say, maybe the halacha is like the Shulchan Aruch, and maybe something else. Maybe there's another reason to be Matim. Now over here, as I read out to you before, the Lashon of the Ramo actually uses a Lashon, V'chein HaMinag. This is the custom. So maybe if we can find a second line of reasoning to be Matir, or at least a second possible line of reasoning, a second sad, a second suffix, then we can have a heter even for the Ashkenazi to cut them up.
It was chicken, it wasn't meat.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. What's two drabonos? Is itself a din drabon. Yeah, that's true, but Shulchan Aruch says that the din of chaticha really is covered. We apply even to an issa drabonon. We don't say that because it's only drabonon. So,
did you not read that before that the Ramos said v'chein haminig v'ein
l'shalis? Yeah, he says v'ein l'shalis. I have a raya from a previous godin that even when he says v'ein l'shalis, you can also be mitzarif. I wasn't about that, Tucker, but yeah. Okay. So I'd like to share with you a second line of reasoning, which I will try to keep brief. I would like to introduce you with a moshel. If somebody cooks a kosher piece of meat and a non-kosher piece of meat together in a pot, and the kosher piece of meat is something you would serve to guests, it's roy leis kavod, and it's cooked together with the non-kosher piece of meat. So therefore what happens, halachically, the kosher piece of meat is makabel tam, it's makabel taste from the non-kosher piece. What will happen if that kosher piece of meat, which is now forbidden to eat, because it has in it the tam of the non-kosher piece, if that kosher piece of meat gets mixed up with the majority of other kosher pieces? Now, as we said, that kosher piece of meat is fitting to serve to guests. However, the whole reason it's forbidden is only because it has within it the tam of a non-kosher piece. Now that tam is not really to serve to guests, it's nothing. Only the piece of meat is really is covered. So the post can actually say this in Beforish in the Shulchan Aruch, that there is no din of chaticha ro'il is kabit on such a thing. There's no chumrah. There's no chumrah on such a thing, because the tam with it, the problem is only the tam within it. The piece of meat itself is kosher. So even though the piece of meat is ro'il is kabit, but because the tam is not ro'il is kabit, and it's only the tam which is making it forbidden, there's no din of ro'il is kabit on such a thing. Now there's one exception to this rule. One exception is basar b'chalav. If you cook a piece of meat in milk, even though that piece of meat has only become forbidden due to the milk which has gone into it, due to the tam of milk inside it, that piece of meat will still have a din of roi leis kabid. If it will get mixed with other pieces, it will not be able to become bottle. And the reason for this is obvious, because basar b'chalav is different to all other isurim. When you begin, you have two pieces which are both heter. Meat is mutter, and the milk is mutter. When they mix and become forbidden, they are both as forbidden as each other. It's not like a piece of kosher meat which is makabel the tam of something non-kosher. So what's not kosher about it? Only the tam within it. The kosher meat is still kosher. But basar b'chalav, kuloi guf shel iser. It's all become aser. The meat is aser as the milk is aser. So therefore, a piece of meat, which is also due to basar b'chalav, will have the chumrah of roi leis kabod. Now, let's take this one final stage further. What will be the din with basar b'chalav d'rabbonon? Let's say you cook a piece of chicken in milk. When you cook a piece of chicken in milk, where chazal also mesakin this chumrah, like we just said now, that basar b'chalav d'oraisa will have the din of roi leis kabod. What about basar b'chalav d'rabbonon? Will it have the din of roi leis kabod or not? This is a big machlokes achorim. Rabbi Akiva and the Prima Godim hold that it is exactly the same as basar b'chalav d'oraisa. But there are those who disagree. The Chavis Das and the Pritoya hold that basar b'chalav d'rabbonon does not have this chumra. So it's a machlokes. Some say basar b'chalav d'rabbonon will have a din of roi leis kabod, exactly like basar b'chalav d'oraisa, and some say the basar b'chalav d'rabbonon does not have bichlal a din of chaticha ro'i leis kabod. So let's apply this to our case. If we take on like the opinion of the Mekilim, like the Chavis Das and the Pritoya, There is no din of roilis kabit bichlal. It doesn't begin. There is no din of roilis kabit on possible chalav drabonon. Over here was only oif. So that's one tzad lahati. And even if you'll tell me, like Rabbi Kivega and the Prima God, that it does have a din of roilis kabit, but maybe the halacha is like the Shulchan Aruch, that it's permitted to cut up, like our first line of reasoning. So therefore we have a sfek sfeika to allow him to cut up the pieces of meat. So therefore the psak which was given in this case indeed was, when he asked the Rav, the rabbi told him, what you should do is, cut them up into strips, put them on a tray, and serve them at your Shabbat Brachos Gesundheit.